As we get ready for the prelude, I would ask, O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Announcements listed in the bulletin. Please take a look at those. A number of things coming up. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, so remember to wear red. And we've got a fundraiser going on for the Pizza Ranch. They have been really good to us. The Scouts are doing that next Thursday. And then we have cleanup, all church cleanup next Saturday. So please put that on your calendar if you possibly could. We would like to welcome this morning Reverend Bob McNamara. He's going to bring us the message today. He has retired from Our Savior's Lutheran Church, but he functions now as the chaplain at Wellman Medical Center. And he brought some training to the elders a couple months ago regarding grief. So we really appreciate having you here today.
Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? I just want to give you a couple reminders regarding the church service today. We are going to be doing communion by intinction. And if you can't make it up for intinction, we will get it to you in the pews so you don't feel like you have to come forward. But if you do, that would be great. The other thing in the prayers of the people today, I'm not a great talker and scrivener at the same time. So I'm going to start the prayers, and then I'm going to ask for the congregation to raise their prayers and joys, celebrations, and concerns as part of the prayers of the people. So speak up when it's your turn if you feel so disposed to do that. One of the things I would like to give you before that is Cynthia and Charles are traveling through Europe. Charles has taken ill. He is in ICU in Munich. Apparently his diabetes medicine has backed up in his kidneys. He got dehydrated, and that created the symptoms were not showing. And they've determined probably have been going on for quite some time. But they feel they have gotten a little bit of handle on that, He's hoping to be moved into a regular room, if that's a proper word in the hospital world, but at least get out of ICU sometime today. Their trip that was going on to Prague has been canceled. Their exchange student is coming from Prague to Munich to see them, and the rest of the trip is to be determined, but they're hoping to be able to continue with that. So be sure and include Charles in your prayers today and in the coming week. One of the things we do in our church service, and let me find my notes, excuse me, I'm sorry, is we raise, stand, and greet each other and join each other. And in the old tradition, this was called passing the peace. It's an ancient tradition where brothers and sisters in Christ share a hug or a handshake or a holy kiss as a sign of our love to each other. And often the embrace is accompanied by a wish for the peace of Christ to be with one another. So let's take a second, greet each other, and then we will sing the opening hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West, hymn number 687. Let us come together to bring our praises and our needs to the Lord. We know God Almighty, by the risen Christ, loves us, and we have an advocate in person of the Holy Spirit. And we are glad when they said unto us, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Father, You hear our prayers, whether they are full of thanksgiving or full of complaints. Your mercy is unending. Even in your discipline, you restrain yourself in ways we cannot know. May our mumbled words of gratitude and our fleeting praises find crevices where they can grow within your presence. In that way, you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our hymn of prayer this morning is hymn number 480, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell.
If you would look at your bulletin, on the back there are listed prayer concerns. And please pay special attention. The card shower today is for Bob Glasspool, and we'll have, you can drop those off when you come up and bring your offering and take communion. So think of that. The word I had was he walked out of the hospital the day after his hip surgery. So that was, Paul?
I'm doing very well now.
Okay. We have the Jones family to be kept in our prayers and a list of health concerns. Please pay special attention to that. I'm going to start the prayer as I close a particular paragraph or thought of that prayer. I'm going to say, Lord, in your mercy, and would ask you to respond as a congregation. Hear our prayer. Let us pray. Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. As we pray for the church, keep us steadfast in your word, shaping us according to your will. Heal our divisions, protect us from discord, unite us in your love, empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands, orchards, and seas, protect your creation from damage. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, for those who govern, and all of those who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster, especially in parts of the Middle East, South America, Africa. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy, for those who are in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve, and all who are sick, Lord, in your mercy. For those of us who have gathered this morning, deepen our lives of prayer. Open us to the guiding of your Spirit. Fill us with compassion, nourish us at your holy table, strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy. We want to give special thanks for bringing us Pastor Bob and the work that he does at Wyoming Medical Center. And Lord, hear the prayers of the congregation as we as individuals raise our joys, concerns, celebrations, and sorrows.
Suffering from the effects of the
with thanksgiving, Lord, on this Memorial Day, help us to remember those who have died protecting us, and especially our loved ones who have worked to nurture, train, lead, and educate us. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy, joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time we'll get ready for communion and our offering all in one. Our invitation is the table of bread is now made ready. It's the table of company with Jesus and all who loved him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith. And you who would like to have more. You who have been here often. And you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus. And us who have failed, come. This table is open to everyone.
In which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And after he blessed it, he said, "Take, drink. This is my blood shed for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." We pray.
Father, we are aware that we are a nation divided. We are not the first or the only one. And in fact, Jesus faced divisions in his mission on earth. There was a great canyon between him and the religious leaders of his time. In addition, the majority of the people did not believe Jesus was a savior to come. They were waiting for a military genius, a hero to drive the Romans out of the Holy Land. Jesus didn't change his course to please his adversaries. He walked his path. He taught about you, Lord God, and he dreamed his dream for the future of humanity. Father, we pray that we may have the strength to walk the walk, talk the talk, and dream the dreams of Jesus Christ. If we do so, we will leave this world a better place in which to live. Amen.
Take, eat, the body of Christ. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Take, eat, the body of Christ. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Take, eat, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Take, eat, the body of Christ. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Take, eat, the body of Christ. Take, drink, the blood of Christ. Take, eat, the body of Christ. Take, drink, the blood of Christ.
Lord God, Creator of all, in your wisdom, you have bound us together so that we must depend on others for the food we eat, for the resources we use, and the gifts of your creation that bring life, health, and joy, for it is in giving that we receive. Amen. Our scripture readings this morning are from, the first reading will be from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. You can find that in the New Testament in your pew Bible on page 118. And I'll give you just a second because I can never get there fast enough to keep up. Chapter 1. Verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, and James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
Our Holy Gospel lesson for this morning is read from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have been given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed in you, that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All of mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, several years ago, a church community came up with a slogan that
I believe that fits rather well, with First Christian Church of Casper. We are church better together. Huh. As Christians, we can go a long way in fulfilling God's call in the world. If the church universal would continually seek ways to work together. And yet all of us all know that this cannot be accomplished without the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that Ted just read, Jesus told the disciples that they would receive God's power through the Holy Spirit. And yet, we see a contrast here. Because we know that our definition of power may very well be different from God's power. God's definition of power is to the ability to carry out a deeper purpose of doing God's work in the world. By working together under the direction of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we have great power. The prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 that I just shared with you is known as the high priestly prayer. And it is a prayer that Jesus offers not only for himself and for his disciples, his apostles, but that prayer is meant for each and every one of us. For us. Further, Jesus prayed for oneness. He prayed for solidarity. He prayed for unity. Again, the words of Jesus. Holy Father, protect them so that they may be one as we are one. Soon after Jesus prays to the Father, what happens? But the power of the Holy Spirit falls upon his disciples. And it brought them closer together, tightly together. It gave them both unity and the ability to make a difference. It is the same Spirit power that brings us together in unity today. Just think about how powerful our churches would be if we would come together in the spirit of togetherness, regardless of our differences. What would happen? What work would be accomplished? What difference would we be able to make in this community, in this state, in this nation, if we could come together? Unified faith communities can serve a deep purpose in enacting God's work in the world. We are truly a church better together. I'm gifted to see this kind of unity. I wish I could speak to more of your members, because I think all of you need to hear this. I have seen this kind of unity being practiced within this congregation. As your mission statement reads, imagine that, I found your mission statement. First Christian Church shall work cooperatively with other Christians to testify to the unity of Christ's church. What a mission statement. I have seen you demonstrate this kind of unity. I served congregations just down the street for almost 10 years. And I was aware of the kind of work that this congregation was doing. For example, the people you assemble for the annual community crop walk You know about that?
Yeah.
Or the way you invite area volunteers to make and hand out lunches to homeless and hungry individuals. How many of you have been a part of that? Also, your Sharing Our Bounty campaign is worth noting. For a third year in a row, this congregation gave away 60% of its pumpkin patch profits to a community charity. What kind of witness is that? I believe this gives a strong witness to our community. And I believe that this kind of work and this kind of unity and this kind of outreach promotes inspiration and promotes unity. However, we are also united through a common belief, aren't we? A common belief in Jesus and the Spirit that He gives in the here and the now in our daily lives. Even if our expression of faith looks different, we are bound together by a common belief. Unity also shows itself at First Christian Church when you openly invite others to worship and to share fellowship with you. My wife and I have been welcomed by you every time we've walked into this church. Bless you for that. I'm also warmed by the invitation that Ted gave a few minutes ago that you give every week when you invite guests to share with you in the sacrament of the Lord's table, when you share Holy Communion together. We know as guests that we're also invited. We also know that Jesus prays for everyone who does God's sacred work in the world. He prays for us because he knows that the world may ignore or even reject the message of Jesus. The unity Jesus also prays for is for assurance. Assurance when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Assurance when we face hardship. Assurance when we face pain and sorrow. And it is that kind of faith that I'm sure that is sustaining Cynthia and her beloved Charles as he is in hospital. We pray that faith sustains them. When Jesus prays for glory, he is asking for God's presence to be felt throughout the world, in our words, in our thoughts, and in our deeds. Our purpose on earth, wherever God has planted us, whatever stage of life you might be in at this moment, we are called to reflect God's light, His compassion, and His love. And you know, we must never give up. We must never give up in the face of hardship, because we know that our Lord and Savior did not give up, even when He was hanging on a cross. When He said, "It is finished," He was giving a strong affirmation that the work that God had given Him on earth was finished. Brothers and sisters, true life is all about connecting with the Spirit of God, and knowing that the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Nothing to be taken for granted. Poured into our hearts. And so when Jesus prays for us, He is after something deep something deep within us and in the heart of God. Jesus did not pray, to be sure, that all believers would agree. The source of our unity. The source of our unity is not based on human structures. Rather, it knows what Jesus teaches and what the Holy Spirit gives us. Isn't that where it's at? It knows that we have the resurrected life deep buried within each and every one of us. Beyond that, our unity gives us strength. We know as we face difficult times in a difficult economy and in a broken world, we know that God gives us strength. For we know, brothers and sisters, that we cannot walk this road alone. We cannot walk this journey by ourselves. We need community. We need to be part of a number. We affirm that week in and week out as we gather for worship. There is strength. There is strength in numbers. When we come together as one body, our prayers and our deeds are a very potent force to be reckoned with. We speak to God when we pray, and in return, the Spirit touches us, it embraces us, it shapes us, and changes us through the gifts that the Spirit gives each and every one of us. We are to use these abilities. We are to use these gifts for the benefit of the world, regardless of where God has placed you at this point in time. Sometimes we ask for help. But when we work together, we glorify God with integrity, with devotion, and through our service to others and by the words that we speak. And as children of God, we are unified in faith in Christ, whose words fill us with that faith. We are also united together by the gift of the Holy Spirit that brings us together, whose presence guides us through life. And although we are one in the Spirit, we have to put that Spirit into action, that Spirit of love into action, so that we can make a difference in the places where God has placed us. We have been called to carry out God's service to the world. It is working for justice. You know it well. Your denomination stresses it. We are called to do justice and to serve others with the faith that God has given us. When we serve one another, brothers and sisters, we serve Christ, and it is that Spirit that gives us inspiration in our lives. Or maybe we can put it another way. It is Jesus who is the heartbeat of our faith and the living example of faith in action. I believe we are called to practice unity. We are not to be passive, but we are to be proactive. We have to apply compassion. We need to become better listeners and to strive to find common ground for the betterment of God's beloved creation. Brothers and sisters, we have to keep going. Keep going. We may never achieve unity and perfect understanding. But, you know, if we work toward it, we're moving in the right direction. If we stand together, we can withstand the fiercest elements that the world throws at us. In the end, we are surely a church better together. Amen.
As a brief reminder, we have a coffee fellowship downstairs. Please take a second and greet each other down there. Enjoy some cookies and some coffee and some great fellowship. At this point in time, before we sing our hymn of dedication, which will be number 433, verses 1 and 5, would like to invite anyone who wants to come forth as a confession of faith, to transfer membership, to anyone that wants to accept Christ can come forward at that point in time during this hymn. At this point in time, let's sing number 433, verses 1 and 5. One and two? All right. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us wherever he may send us. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider.